podcast by Rural Community Alliance. I am Candace Williams, and this has been an adventurous, a loaded, emotional week, I guess you can say. We started out the week by celebrating Dr. King's birthday on Monday. RCA made it an effort, very intentional about celebrating Dr. King's birthday this year. We our Delta Regional Director, Lincoln Barnett, he had a beautiful statement that we posted all over our social media. And even given the context of how Dr. King's work started, you know, in a very rural place, Marks, Mississippi. So if you have not already, go take a look. It's on our YouTube page. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our Instagram. So the new rural AR, that's our Instagram, our YouTube hashtag, or our YouTube handle is Rural Community Alliance. Our Facebook handle is Rural Community Alliance. So if you have not already, go ahead and check that out. Rolled around, I guess, to Tuesday, you know, as a country, we're kind of like in this space of just waiting, I guess, on the next day, which is Wednesday, which was Inauguration Day. Regardless of party or anything, I hope everyone got a chance to look at it and to witness what happened that day. The young lady, Amanda Gorman, oh my goodness. If you have not listened to that poem, you really need to go do that now. It just spoke of everything that this country has gone through, where we are now, and what we need to do, and the importance of us continuing to strive to perfect, not to perfect, but to make our union better, knowing that it's unfinished, knowing that we're not where we need to be for it to be better and serving for all of us here. So yeah, if you have not, go check that out. Joe Biden is officially our president. Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, she's officially the vice president. And for me, being a black woman, that her being in that position, it just means so much. It means so much to my son, you know. It means so much to so many young girls that look like her and, you know, aspire to reach the highest of heights. So, again, regardless of party, it just meant so much for us to see that, to witness it, and to know that that she's in that position now. So yeah, this is the first episode of the year for RCA. It's very different because I don't have a guest. I don't have a co-host or anything. It's just me talking through, you know, I guess the current events of things that have happened and going over some of the bills that have been filed thus far in Arkansas's 93rd General Assembly. The legislative session is on and popping right about now. So I'll talk about a few of those things, talk about issues that RCA will be in support of, and some bills that have been filed, and probably some, while I'm speaking now, another crazy one is probably being filed that, you know, that we'll be against. But it's just been a lot. This week has just been, you know, just a lot of emotions, like I said. So I'll get to it. So the governor has proposed a $2,000 teacher pay raise. I know we will be very much so in support of that, especially now our teachers have done so much and they deserve so much more than they currently get. So of course, as a nonprofit with education advocacy, public education advocacy being the basis of our work, we're very much so in support of raising the teacher pay salary. So that's something that we'll be out on the lookout for. $30 million for broadband has been proposed. As we all know, last year with the CARES Act money, there was a significant amount of money that the Arkansas CARES Act committee group, they gave to the Rural Broadband, the Arkansas Rural Connect program. But the caveat was that the money had to be, it was a stipulation, it had to be spent before the end of last year. Some rural communities were able to take advantage of that. I mean, they were ready. The provider that would do the laying of the wires or whatever that was required for the service in those particular communities, they were on board. They were ready to go. But a lot of our communities, and probably the ones that that are really, really in need, they didn't have that infrastructure. They didn't have that capacity in place to just be on go and ready to just use that money before the end of the year. One of the communities that RCA works with and alongside was awarded millions of dollars to deploy those services, that broadband service in throughout their county. But the provider and the community had to turn the money back because there was no way that they would be able to do everything that needed to be done before the end of 2020. So I hate that COVID had to be the thing that put how bad connectivity was out on Front Street and made the government and everybody step up a little bit more about it. But here we are. So $30 million sounds really good. We know it'll probably take much more for adequate, accessible, affordable internet service for our communities, our very rural communities. So that's something that we'll definitely be on the lookout for, and we'll be very much so in support of that proposal for that $30 million. And of course, we'll continue pushing and asking for more until all of our communities are connected the way that they need to be. There is a Senate bill that was filed, you know, at the top of when legislators were able to start filing bills in November. Senate Bill 3, and it's known as the Hate Crimes Bill. Why this bill is getting as much pushback as it is, it does not surprise me. I'll say that. As a lot of things that have transpired, you know, through this very long year of 2021, I've not been surprised about anything. The insurrection that happened on the 6th of this month, I'm not surprised by that. The pushback for this hate crimes bill, I'm not surprised by that. But it's a little disgusted. So as an organization, social justice and equity has always been intertwined in our work. And if you don't understand the need for this bill, then I welcome to have a conversation with you. But, this hate crimes bill, I've heard so much craziness about how it's going to be against religious people. It's infringing upon people's religious rights, and they're trying to make one race superior over the other. I've just heard every single thing about this. But, I just hate how divisive this country has become. Maybe it's always been this way, but it is definitely amplified over the past few years. Everybody is a little more emboldened in how they communicate their disdain or their feelings about certain things. So, again, as an organization, we will be in support of SB3. It has not hit the Senate Judiciary Committee yet. I'm sure they're still trying to fix some things in the bill. But I implore everyone that's against that bill to, like I said, my phone line is open. You know, it's all on RCA's website. My phone number is the organization's phone number. So call me. I mean, I want to hear your side. I want to hear why you oppose a hate crimes bill. And regardless of how you may personally feel or your personal experience of if you're against this hate crimes bill, you have to understand that there are people out there that intentionally target people because of the color of their skin or their sexual orientation or whatever they choose to be. Something specific to that person's race, identity, people target them. And if you can't understand that, this has nothing to do with going after Christians. I'm a Christian. My mother's an ordained minister, you know, brought up in Baptist church. So putting religion in this and saying that it's going to infringe upon your religious rights, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear why you feel like this bill wouldn't be something that we need in the state of Arkansas. Arkansas is not looking too good right about now. Which leads me, I have another bill that will be for. House Bill 1202 by Representative Collins. It ensures that every Arkansan sample ballot will be available online ahead of the election. So this bill is needed and very beneficial. Last year, I had the honor and privilege of working the polls in very rural Arkansas in Phillips County twice last year in the primary and in the November election. I was able to work the polls. And you'd be surprised how many people really don't understand or they really know nothing about the down ballot issues and sometimes the down ballot candidates, especially in election year like last year where a lot of the federal election business is the main focus, and sometimes our state elections are not paid attention to as much as they should be in the issues that are on the ballot. RCA, we work really hard to make sure that our membership that they kind of understood what those ballot issues were and understood the importance of familiarizing themselves with the ballot before they got to, you know, to their voting booth. So having that sample ballot available online ahead of the election, that is so much that's needed. It's really needed. So people know exactly how their ballot will look. They'll be familiar with it. And hopefully they just go in and be able to select it. So we'll very much so be in support of that. We'll also be in support, as we always have, of public education as a whole. We will be in support of issues that are pertinent to rural. I already mentioned the broadband, infrastructure needs that we have. Any bill that comes up that would be beneficial to our rural communities, we'll be in support of that. So again, the session just kicked off on January the 11th. Some of the more controversial bills have been in the headlines and started the session off, and it really hadn't got down to some of these things that I mentioned earlier in the podcast, but we will definitely be on the lookout for those. I'll come back every week with those bills and giving an update on them via email, our membership. I'll be able to send those out, and we'll also our social media will start ramping up our activity on our social media to make sure that people that do follow us on our social media outlets, that they'll be informed and know what's going on at the Capitol. The public is still invited to come to the Capitol. Each committee, each House and Senate committee, they have holding rooms now for people that that want to testify for or against the bill, show their support or show, you know, they don't like a bill. You still can go do that. I know they are exercising, of course, all the CDC federal guidelines of social distancing, and you have to wear a mask and all of that. And of course, it won't be as many people allowed in there. Even before COVID, they broadcasted the meetings online, so you can always go to ARKLEG, I think, .usa.ar. I have to get the address right. I'll put it in the description of this podcast. But we always post, not always, but when there is a committee meeting that comes up and that we've talked about, a bill that's coming up, we'll post it on our social media. We'll put it out in our member emails and things like that. But again, I'll put the legislator's website address in the description of this podcast, and there you can always find when the calendar for what committees will be meeting on specific days, the link to their agendas, and the link to the videos that broadcast. You'll also be able to find the contact information of all of the legislators, House and Senate legislators. You'll be able to find the contact information there, so it's just a great resource for you to stay informed during this time. So bills that RCA will be against. A bill that came out guns a-blazing, no pun intended, but pun intended, has been the Stand Your Ground, SB 24. I tweeted, I think it was earlier this week. Maybe it was Monday or, I don't know, I'm losing count of days right about now. But I tweeted that I don't expect the sponsors or the supporters of this bill to ever understand my viewpoint as a black woman with a black child, black male son, a son, black brothers, father, cousin, uncles. I don't ever expect them to see this bill like I see it. They don't get it. They'll never understand what this bill means to us. And I said that this bill, anytime I see any kind of legislation that reflects a Stand Your Ground law, I can only think of Trayvon Martin. How this young man was walking home, minding his business, you know, with his Skittles and his sweet tea. And this person came up out of nowhere and he felt that this young man was doing something and he felt that this young man was doing something that he felt like that he shouldn't have been doing. And he went after him, called the police, and he took it upon himself to do whatever he felt like he needed to do at that time, which was wrong, and ended up shooting Trayvon, and he died. That's what comes to my mind. Regardless of what the supporters, the sponsors are saying about this bill and how it's, you know, 34 states, you know, out of the country. So that doesn't mean we need that in Arkansas. Why? Why would we do that? Why would we need that when you know how this bill, what it means to people that reside in this state? And what, not just in the state, but what it means to people that look like me. What this bill means when we see the words, when we see that this is a Stand Your Ground law, a bill that's being presented. No good thoughts. I can promise you that. No good thoughts come to our mind. So why do you all feel pressed to make this a thing in our state when it's not needed? We have self-defense laws that already stand in our state. We don't need a Stand Your Ground. We don't need this bill. I can just see this going wrong, like all the way. And Senator Flowers, when it was brought up in the Senate Judiciary Committee, she brought up the point of, like, who's to say, you know, the person that, you know, ended up being the victim, the person that died, who's going to tell their side of the story? What person would be there to tell that person's side of the story? You know, who's to say that this wasn't, you know, the aggressor wasn't the person that ended up shooting and killing or harming this person? Who? Y'all, it's just, I don't understand it. Again, I'm not surprised. So, of course, this bill flew through Senate Judiciary. It kind of flew through the Senate floor. Now it's headed to House Judiciary. And all we can do as citizens, as people that want to make right of our wrongs, that want to make our union better, all that we can do is call the legislators, the representatives that sit on the House Judiciary Committee, and voice our opinions and let them know, hey, this is not something we want. This is not something we need currently in our state. And that's the lens that I look through. You know, is this something that's beneficial to us? If it's not an overwhelming, like, yes, that this is something that's for the greater good, why are y'all up there doing it at the Capitol? You know, why? This is not a bill for the greater good. So as an organization, we are very much so opposed to that. So there was a bill, I believe, that was kind of filed yesterday or day before yesterday. And it's House Bill 1231. So House Bill 1231 is totally aimed at the 1619 Project. And if you're not familiar with the 1619 Project, it was launched in August of 2019 to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the first enslaved people arriving in America. You know, as some of our history in America has been, it's an ugly truth. Truth hurts sometimes, but it's history that needs to be taught. It's history that needs to be learned. I was a part of the last graduating class of the Elaine High School before we were mandated to annex with the Marvel School District. And if anyone's familiar with Elaine, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but we had a very ugly past. The Elaine Race Massacre of 1919, the Elaine Massacre of 1919, that was not something that we learned about at school growing up. Something that was, that happened, you know, where we lived and worked and played, where we, the, you know, our, where our school, where our homes were, this very ugly event happened. There was a total massacre, and there was not something that was talked about. It was not something that was taught. So this is something that does not need to continue to happen. So I'll just read the title of this bill. So House Bill 1231, an act creating the Saving American History Act of 2021 to prohibit the use of public school funds to teach the 1619 Project curriculum, to reduce funds distributed to public schools that teach the 1619 Project curriculum and for other purposes. So this is a total muffle. It claims that the 1619 Project is a racially divisive and revisionist account of history that threatens the integrity of the Union by denying the true principles on which it was founded. So telling about things that actually happened in this country, history that is history. We can't change that. It's all of a sudden divisive. So this is something that we are definitely opposed to. So the same person, the same legislator that filed HB 1231 also filed HB 1218. So HB 1218, and initially I personally thought that this was going to be the bill that was used to target 1619. I didn't think that they were going to target it, you know, head on, but he did. He filed it on the 21st. So HB 1218 is to prohibit offering of certain courses, events, and activities regarding race, gender, political affiliation, social class, or certain classes of people, and to adjust funding for schools that offer certain courses, events, and activities. So again, taking school funding from school districts or schools that want to teach about social justice, that apparently is prohibited now, or will be if this bill is passed, which we are opposed to. And it not only affects K through 12, not only affects a public, you know, high school or open enrollment charter school, it also goes to our colleges and universities. So talk about overreach, talk about, you know, censor, canceling, muffling. Both of these bills, 1231 and 1218, they do just that. And RCA is definitely opposed to both of these. I don't expect this is the last that we'll see of these bills if they, you know, fail. Hopefully they do fail, but I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that when these bills hit the Education Committee, that RCA members are totally informed of them, and that our voices are heard regarding these things that are trying to be done in our state capital. That's all I have to kind of wrap up the first, I guess, couple weeks of the session. Thank you all for joining me today, and you can catch me back here next Friday or the following Monday. I'll try to have them published on that Friday, just depending on how, you know, busy the week is. But well, I'll definitely come back, you know, with the update every week in a day or so. But I want to go back to something I spoke of early in the podcast, and that was the great Amanda Gorman. read a poem during the inauguration. And I'll just, I want to read the last few lines. It says, "When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there's always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it." Thank you all for joining me today, and I'll catch you next week. Take care.